Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for Jerry and Ann, for their willingness to travel to Wellspring Church. Father God, I pray that you are with Jerry as he shares. Let his words be your words. He is going to be sharing about the hands and feet of Christ, the people out there helping others, the homeless, the poor. And for that, we give thanks. Be with Jerry as he shares this morning. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. My name is Jerry Grosch. I'm here with my wife, Ann. And we live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, as I guess I said that before. And Lancaster is 1 hour and 20 minutes from here, according to my phone GPS system. And that's about what it took this morning. Probably longer than that on busy weekdays. We have three children, and those three at the moment, I mean, for a while anyway, they're located on three different continents. One's here, close by, one is in Africa, and one is in Africa, in Rwanda, and one is in China. I say that because our kids sort of followed our example. Our daughter said, we said to our daughter in China, are you going to come and work in the U.S.? She said, no, don't complain. You raised me this way. So Ann and I spent 14 years in Ethiopia and 3 years in Kenya working in Somalia under the umbrella of Eastern Mennonite Missions and Mennonite Central Committee. So we did raise our kids in Africa. But in 2006, we moved back to here, and I started working at Mennonite Disaster Service. So this morning, I'm going to talk about Mennonite Disaster Service. I started there in 2006. I retired from there just almost exactly 3 years ago, and then I was asked to come back to MDS back in October to fill in for an interim part-time position. I'm now the director of operations. While I was working for the first 16 years, I was the director of field operations, which was managing all the projects that MDS does across the United States and territories. And during the first part of my time, it was also Canada, although Canada hired more staff and grew their capacity, and they started doing their own, taking care of their own projects. So I didn't do that for the last 10 years. What does MDS do? Well, MDS is an organization of the Anabaptist churches of North America. We exist in the United States and in Canada. And we are the responders to disasters, the lead responders to disasters in the U.S. and Canada. Now, you're going to the MRC sometime. That's Mennonite Central Committee. They are the lead responders to disasters or situations outside of the U.S. and Canada. We actually have an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding with Mennonite Central Committee that says that. Here we take the lead. But in all other countries, all other parts of the world, Mennonite Central Committee takes the lead. Thus, those things that you are going to put together, whatever packs you're putting together for MCC to probably send around the world. So I was reminded when we sang that song that some of the words say, no storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. And I wondered what the woman in, this was not part of my notes, I wondered what the woman in West Virginia would say to that when she told me a year or two ago that when the floods came, West Virginia, mountains, streams, the floods came and the creek rose and became a raging river. And it took her house, and she was in it, and it floated that house away. And she said about a couple hundred yards down the stream bed, her house was floating, it ran into the bridge. Well, she went up into the attic because the water was coming in the first floor. When it ran into the bridge, there was somebody on the bridge who actually helped to chop a hole in the roof and she escaped. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Mennonite Disaster Service began 75 years ago. We just celebrated our 75th anniversary. 75 years ago in Kansas, near the town of Heston, there was a church called the Pennsylvania Mennonite Church. I suppose most of them, they must have been transplants from Pennsylvania. One of the Sunday school classes got together in the park, young people's class, young marriage class. And the question for them to discuss that day was, what can we as conscientious objectors do to help or serve our country in times of war and in times of peace? So 75 years ago was 1950, right after World War II. And they said, let's organize. They decided to organize themselves to respond to disasters and help their neighbors. I think that was 1950. I think their first actual organized response was the next spring, 1951, when they helped to put up sandbags along rivers in Wichita, Kansas, to protect houses and neighborhoods from floodwaters which were rising. It was called Mennonite Service Organization, but after a few years, it actually became a part of Mennonite Central Committee. And it was part of that until 1993, when there was a friendly separation. I guess it was mostly friendly. The lawyers and the leaders said, you know what, that MDS, they build houses and crawl around on roofs, and they do dangerous, more dangerous things than MCC. We think it would be better to separate that out legally to protect the assets of MCC, because MDS is doing this. Construction is considered a high-risk type of occupation. Yeah, falling through roofs, right? Who said that? Anyway, those sorts of things. Yeah, falling off roofs. Yeah, we've seen that. Whatever, cutting fingers, all of those things. So MDS, since 1993, had its own board of directors. We have our own separate 501c3 nonprofit registration with the government. What's our mission? Here's our mission statement. We respond to disasters, rebuild homes, and restore hope by organizing and empowering volunteers in the U.S. and Canada. That's our mission statement. So, responding to disasters, rebuilding homes. Sometimes I think the most important is restoring hope by organizing and empowering disasters. We probably, even more than MCC, we probably have the broadest representation of Anabaptist churches of any church or Anabaptist agency in North America. So we bring into the fold, MCC has many of these too, but we bring into our fold the Amish groups, Old Order, New Order, Old Order Mennonites, who in our county drive horses and buggies. It's still eschew, don't own cars typically. To the Mosaic Conference, to the LMC, to the Mennonite Church USA, to the Rosedale, to the, anyway, you all across Brethren in Christ. The Anabaptist churches of North America sort of own MDS. And many of those conferences send a representative to be part of our board of delegates who guide and lead MDS. We have 30 staff members. About half of them are located there around Lancaster, and Lititz is our office location. But the other 15 are located across the U.S. We have staff in the East Coast, Central, in the Mountain, Plain states, and on the West Coast. We just had a board member and have a new board member who is coming from Alaska, of all places. It's a long trip to come to Lancaster to attend a board meeting. We put to work over 6,000 volunteers typically in 1 year. So what do? Where do they go? There are volunteer leaders who give a month or 2 months, typically, to an MDS project, and we set up different project locations across the U.S. in response to disasters. They give a month or two. They're the project directors. They're the construction supervisors. They're the crew leaders. They're the cooks. They're the office managers. Those are the people who do those kinds of jobs. And then we get groups from churches like yours who say, hey, we want to go and serve on an MDS project. And they put together a group of 5 or 10 or 15, and they travel to one of those project locations. They arrive on Sunday. We give them a bed to sleep in. We feed them really well, and we give them enough work to make them tired every day. Put them to work on a construction project. We do respond in the early days after Hurricane Helene hit Florida and then came up and sat over the western North Carolina and just really damaged that part of North Carolina. We sent volunteers in to do cleanup. They ran track hoes and skid steers. They used chainsaws. They used shovels to dig out muck and crowbars to tear things apart that needed to be demolished. And they worked several months. We repaired some, you know, stream crossings and things like that. That's the early stage. That's probably about 5% of what we do in MDS. The most of what we do is repairing and rebuilding houses. So that Helene hit North Carolina, when was that? October, maybe? September, October? And we worked a couple of months in the, we call it early response, that cleanup phase. And then now we kind of sit, because communities need to get organized to determine who needs help, not just repairing, that can happen more quickly, but what happens when houses have been destroyed completely or damaged enough that they're not worth rebuilding? If we and others are going to rebuild those houses, it takes time to put this sort of systems and local organizations together to help us do what we do. And that is put volunteers there to rebuild those houses. Working overseas, I gained a pretty healthy skepticism about short-term missions. You know, this is the kind of thing where you get a group together and you go off to Guatemala and start to build a church, but because you're only there a week or 10 days, you can't finish that church. Does it ever get finished? Maybe. Sometimes. And sometimes, no. MDS does short-term missions. We do those one-week groups, right? And I was talking to a woman who wrote a book about MDS. She did a research project. She was a professor of disaster studies. She did some research. She interviewed over 150 people, she and another person, after Hurricane Katrina, in the places where we worked after Hurricane Katrina. And she wrote a book about it. And I said to her, Brenda Phillips was her name, I said, Brenda, I'm trying, this was early on in my time with MDS, I've been thinking about trying to articulate what makes MDS different than the usual short-term missions. And she said, it's easy, I can tell you. What is it? She said, you finish what you start. Ah, well, but each group doesn't finish. No, but you have a program that finishes what you start, and we do. We sign an agreement with a homeowner to repair their house or to build a new house. When we have that agreement, we'll finish, even if it means in a very few cases we've had to hire contractors if we don't have volunteers to do it. We have finished what we started. When we make a commitment in a community, we're there as long as we can effectively work. And when we go into a community, we are outsiders. We have to build trust. People are suspicious, especially when we go into look around you. This is a pretty white congregation. as are the great majority of our volunteers. When we go into Selma, Alabama, where we were working this winter and spring and expect to go back there in the fall again, when we go into Selma, Alabama, Selma, ring any bells? What? What comes to your mind? The march, Martin Luther King, civil rights. That's, you know, when we go into a black community and stay in a black church in Selma, we are outsiders, and we have to gain trust from people who live there. Takes time. How do we do that? Well, Brenda Phillips, who wrote that book, also noted that the key word, and she put all of her interviews through whatever sociologists do to, you know, do in their research kinds of things, and she said the word that came up most often in talking to people, in listening to the feedback about MDS was relationships. How do we build relationships in Selma, Alabama? White people from the north going into black communities who still remember and know the racism and the civil rights difficulties, not just of years ago, but even that tend to persist today. We've built relationships with people all the way from Puerto Rico, which direction are we? I don't know. Down southeast of here, all the way to Saipan, which is a territory in the Northern Mariana Islands. Guam would be more familiar to you out there. It's closer to Japan than it is to the mainland U.S. And all the way, Native and Indian reservations, where people have a strong distrust of white people because of many years of broken promises. We went into Detroit after floods in 2014, and we worked there with some local folks who helped us figure out what happened there. They had 6 inches of rain in a very short time, and it flooded the whole drainage system, and sewage and drain water came up into tens of thousands of people's basements in Detroit. We went in there primarily to help clean out basements, clean out the sewage and the muck and dry them out and help people recover from that. Michelle Jackson was a woman who worked with us, a local person. She said, Michelle is black, she said, I worked in the auto industry for many years with all white men who tightened the screws too hard. And when I left there, I was angry about a lot of things. Then she said, and I heard her say this, God put me in a place where I worked with white men again. She was talking about MDS. MDS came into my life and it changed me. It softened my heart. And I learned that both you and we are, and she gave us a new name for our acronym of MDS. She said, both you and we are most dedicated servants. Volunteers there built relationships across racial lines. After Hurricane Katrina damaged the destroyed the homes of Atakapa Ishak Indians living south of New Orleans in the marshes outside of the levees, they had trouble getting permission to build back because all the officials wanted everybody to build their houses inside of the levees. Never mind that Hurricane Katrina flooded all those houses inside the levees with 8 or 10 or 12 feet of water, too. It didn't matter where you were. They said, no, you're not safe outside the levees. We had a volunteer who worked with them for 2 years to get permission to build for them. I went back there in 2015 and met with a couple of them. That was 10 years after Hurricane Katrina. And Rosina said, we're still recovering, but she said, we have 1,500 years of recorded history in this area, living in the marsh. We're water people. We fish for a living. She said, now you are part of our history. Those relationships were built over those years of working together. Relationships, though, don't develop just out of the air. How do they happen? Well, I say that faith motivates our service. Here's where the scripture text comes in. I don't know if you have a program. I haven't seen one. But the scripture text that should be written there says 2 Corinthians 5, I think it says 18 to what, 20? 20a. I should have started at 17 because 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. So, new creation, old things have gone away. Look, new things have arrived. What are the new things? So verse 18, which is where I started, says, all these new things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So, and here's where I'll put my focus this morning. We are ambassadors who represent Christ. We are ambassadors who represent Christ, this ministry of reconciliation. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And that's what we say we want to do in MDS. I was, some years ago, down in Louisiana with one of our project directors, and we met the local building inspector at a job site, at one of our construction sites. We stood there and we talked for 45 minutes about all kinds of things. And he said, I just can't believe you get people who come here for all the way from Canada to work here. And I said, you know, people come because of their faith in Jesus, because Jesus came to serve and not be served. We understand and know the love of Jesus, and we want to share that with other people. At the end of that conversation, the building inspector, and I don't know his faith stance at all, he said, you people really live what you believe. You live what you believe. And I consider that high praise for the volunteers of MDS who are living out what they believe. Another client, another homeowner in Detroit said, we were struggling. We needed to know that God was with us. We needed to know. You and you, talking about MDS and volunteers, she said, you are the visible evidence that God is working on our behalf. What a powerful statement when you go and you help someone. You are the visible evidence that God is working, she said, on our behalf. The visible evidence. That's what faith, the faith motivation does, I think, in the lives of our volunteers and the lives of the people we work with in these communities. MDS, any construction workers in here? Yeah. Anybody? No. Well, yeah. So, you know, I'm just wondering how you would feel about doing a job or doing construction jobs if your crew quit on you every week, and then you had to trade a new one next week, and your foreman quit on you every month or two, maybe at the most. MDS is an organization, that's really the way it is, and it works. It's amazing that it works. We have to work hard at making that effective. But how often have I heard our project leaders say, God sends the right people at the right time to do what we want to do? In Oklahoma a few years, we were working in a tornado area, and a project director said to me, well, this was a phone call, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. We have a modular, it's a double-wide mobile home, but I have half of a mobile home that this guy bought. He bought half, not a mobile, a modular home. He bought half of that double-wide, and he wants us to set it on the foundation And he said, I don't know how we're going to do that, and maneuvered around the trees that are on that lot. A couple of weeks, two or maybe 3 weeks later, I actually visited that project, and Phil, the project director, and I went out to the site, and here they were. This half of the modular was up on the block foundation, and I was chatting with the crew that was there that week, and you know, as I usually would say, where are you all from? Oh, Indiana. Yeah, what are you? And the leader of that group, there were like 15 or 18 of them. I said, what do you do for a living? Oh, he said, I set up mobile homes. That group would have been scheduled months before that we knew that we had a need for a crew to set up a modular home on a foundation. And isn't anybody wondering why there was only half of it there? Or aren't you? Yeah? Okay. Well, Billy, who bought the he lived in a mobile home, and it was rolled over in a tornado, and it was just crushed. He bought the half of the double wide because he said, well, the price was right, $700. The other half had been destroyed in a road accident, and he had a dream of putting this down and building the other half to match it and finishing out this house. You knew he was in his upper 60s. Physically, we knew there was no way Billy would ever do that. In the next couple of weeks, though, our crews did build at least the shell of the other half of that double-wide modular and set that up. God brings the right people at the right time, and we trust that God will continue to bring the right people to MDS to do what we do. My title was, I said, we build relationships, we build houses, and we build lives, or maybe rebuild lives. We worked after tornadoes in Alabama some years ago, and one of our local partners, a case manager named Cindy Smith, worked with us, and she brought a case to us, a man whose home had been damaged, not destroyed, but damaged, but he was still trying to live in it. She said he really became a recluse after that tornado, stayed by himself. We hardly saw him. But we had volunteers go in there and repair his home. And they worked with him week after week. After a month, she said, he started coming out again, started going to town again, started going to church again. And Cindy observed to us in MDS, she said, you are not just rebuilding homes, you are rebuilding lives. You're rebuilding lives. So it's not just about the houses, it's about the people. It's about these people we learn to know and we build relationships and we love and we give their houses back to them. We trust that we give hope back to them. And sometimes, as I've heard, it's not us giving, but their faith is restored as well. So that's MDS. We're Beth said you're informal here, which I can tell. So does anybody have any questions or comments?
I'd like to just remind them it's not just the men who work.
It's not just the men who work. Absolutely not. And the women, there was a group of young women who went to Colorado. And after, I don't know, some of our local folks, there was this local contractor who had been doing some stuff in the same place where we were working. He said, it was probably a conservative Mennonite group of women from Lancaster County somewhere. This guy said, I had a crew like that, I could outbid any contractor in Boulder County, Colorado. Okay, there you go. The women work too.
So MDS provides housing and food for volunteers. Do volunteers have to pay to get to where they're going?
The ones who come for a week, yes. We ask them to pay their way. You can get in a car and drive or fly, but the volunteers pay their way. MDS provides the housing, the food, the tools, everything that is needed to work on the site. Yeah. Now, for leaders, Those of you who are retired, most of our leaders are retired, people who can take a month or two. MDS pays their travel to and from the sites as they come and go.
Has the government ever interfered with your work? Or have helped?
Does the government interfere with our work? Very well, not in the sense other than they might have restrictions they might have restrictions that make it hard for us to work. But not any harder than any other local contractor. But if you're licensed locally, sometimes we often hire licensed people to do plumbing, electrical, and HVAC work because we don't always have those skills coming exactly the right time, or sometimes you need to have a local license to do that. Do they help? FEMA has been a great help to us in terms of information sharing. And in fact, there were times like Saipan. I mentioned Saipan, that island way out there in the Pacific, 180 miles per hour typhoon or hurricane hit those places. Imagine, I'm not sure this church would stand up to an 180 miles per hour, you know, storm. So they wanted volunteers badly enough that they actually paid the flights, the transportation for our volunteers to go there. Now, they did ask them to stay 2 or 3 weeks at a time, everybody, but they did that. So FEMA's been very supportive. We get no money directly from the government. We've never taken money. Right now, when the government's cutting lots of grants, that's a helpful thing for us because we are not dependent on them. It will impact us perhaps in some other ways, but we're not dependent on them. But I have to say, in lots of places, governments have been tremendously helpful. After Hurricane Sandy hit New York City, 2012, we were able to set up trailers and things in Queens, in the borough of Queens, Far Rockaway. I guarantee things that you could never get done in New York City, but after that hurricane and that disaster, they wanted volunteers there badly enough. They went bent over backwards to allow us to do that on a temporary basis for a couple of years. And so we found governments to be incredibly helpful in lots of places.
Yeah, it sounds like very rewarding work.
It is very rewarding work. We meet people at some of the lowest, sometimes, times of their life. We help to repair or rebuild things they can't do or don't know how to do, and say, God bless you, and we go away. No payment, no money. It's very rewarding. Well, maybe we could have a prayer before, or would you like to do that, Pastor Beth?
You may pray.
Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for what a wonderful rain. Thank you, God, for the rain. Sometimes brings floods. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your love, and your mercy. I am remembering all of the volunteers of MDS, some of them who are out at project sites right now. We pray for your blessing on that work, that they will be the ambassadors, the ones who build relationships on your behalf, taking the love of Jesus, being the hands and feet of Jesus to people who have housing needs. Thank you for churches like Wellspring who love and support each other and others even outside of their congregation. May we all be your hands and feet. We ask it in your name. Amen.